Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me on today's show is Sean Murphy, Covers Experts professional handicapper. You can follow him on Twitter at Murphy_sports. Sean, great to have you on the show.
Hey, Rob. Great to see you. Thanks for having me on.
Today, what we're going to be talking about is a little college football week zero, as well as looking ahead towards the NFL season. But first off, Sean, you know how I knew that I was going to like you? By your Twitter background, being none only than the man with the sweetest swing in the history of baseball, Ken Griffey Jr. So I'm curious, why is Jr. your Twitter background?
Well, I mean, he's the greatest baseball player of all time. And he was growing up, baseball was one of my favorite sports. Living up here in Canada, it's a little difficult at the time to kind of be able to follow some of these teams. But Griffey captured everyone kind of back then, back in the 90s. I was a kid, you know, about 10 years old at the time when he was breaking in. It was just, you know, it was so great to watch him play, and just everything about the Mariners I liked. Followed him all the way through his career, and it's just that was kind of my idol growing up. So it's only fitting that I use him as my background, bit of a tribute.
As we speak, just out of frame over my left shoulder is a poster of Ken Griffey Jr. in the backswing, because that's the best part of it, is he's got that graceful swing, but then there's that stoic pose as if he's almost a statue. And for me, that is quintessential Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, just everything about him was just, he was the best, and I still think he is. So, he was just, I think I'm not the only kid growing up in the 90s that Griffey was the guy. It's either Griffey or Jordan.
Over my other shoulder is actually two Michael Jordan posters. So you pretty much nailed my demographic and who I am. So before we get to the football action, Sean, what I'm curious about is you've been a pro sports handicapper since 2004. And I always like to dig in a little bit more into the mindset and the process and what that's like, because sports betting has evolved immensely over the last 17 years with legalization in a handful of states now. And I'm curious if you can give us a little insight into sort of your journey and what's that like.
Yeah, well, for me, sports betting was always kind of a passion of mine, even going back to in my junior high days as a teenager. It was kind of just something that here in Canada we had ProLine, which we still have, which is kind of a parlay game that's run by the government lottery. And back then you could go to the corner store, you know, get a ticket, in my case, you'd have to get your dad to buy the tickets for you. But you could bet anywhere between $2 and $25. The only thing was you had to play at least three games, up to six games. I was pretty big into that growing up. Once I got to my university days, I was just looking for kind of a part-time job, and I kind of fell into a spot at Covers, working behind the scenes with Covers Experts, actually. And from there, it was just we could talk all day about it, but it was just kind of a series of events that led me to they gave me the opportunity to produce some content there. And at the time I thought this is the career for me, following sports the way I did, and from the sports betting side of things. So I got into it there. They gave me the opportunity right out of university. That was in 2004. So now I'm into my 18th football season here coming up. And I kind of pride myself on the fact that I have done that long. I mean, it's a tough business for sure. You see a lot of names and faces come and go over those number of years, and just all of the, like you mentioned, all of the changes in sports betting. I mean, we've seen a lot since 2004. So I kind of pride myself on sticking with it this long and getting to the point now where it's more of a mainstream kind of thing, right?
And I'm curious about your success mindset and your process, because one of the things that I love to do on this show is teach people how to fish, not just give them picks, but it's like, hey, here's how we are thinking or going about choosing the picks that we do. So can you let us into a little bit into your, let's call it the football process, because football's coming up. What does that look like for you to be successful?
Yeah, for sure. Well, during the summer, I mean, football, the bulk of my work is studying for college football, because there's just so much to so much to kind of take in leading up to the fall. And I think you had mentioned when we were talking about doing this podcast about discussing week zero and week one. I try not to get too far ahead of myself. I don't start looking too far into week one until we take care of week zero first. Early in college football season, I'm always looking to kind of analyze the box scores, go through play-by-play data. That's the kind of thing I want to see, teams that are actually in good kind of early season form on both sides of the football. Particularly on offense, you'll see some teams where they're, struggling to get into the end zone. They can move the ball, but they can't get touchdowns. Sometimes we see some carryover from that week to week. I'll focus a lot on totals early in the college football season. And then when it comes to NFL, I follow the preseason, but you can't put too much stock in it. NFL is all about you have to just watch the games on Sunday. It's the same kind of thing. You'll look at box scores, look at play-by-play data. Now we have so much more information with just the fantasy football matchups, things like that. That actually goes a lot into my capping as well when it comes to NFL now. A little more matchup based than maybe I used to be. But like I said, just trying not to get too far ahead of myself. I like to take it just, one week at a time during football season. Not a big futures bettor, more of just a week by week kind of guy.
Are there any metrics that you look at that maybe we should add to our flow? So, for example, if you're like, hey, we look at third down conversion or red zone percentage or offensive line versus defensive line, are there any metrics? Because I think the easy thing is just to say, all right, let's look on the surface level and you can see a score of whatever, 45 to 21. And most people are like, oh, what a big blowout that was. But then there's also total yards and there's turnovers and there's a lot of different ways to chop it up. And we can create whatever narrative we want based on the stats that we see. But are there little benchmarks of things that, hey, we can get a better overall view of a game, knowing that we're not going to see everything. We might have multiple screens with the second screen world. We got Twitter over here. What are some of the things that you would recommend that we check out from a metric standpoint?
Yeah, like I say, you can't just go by the final scores. I mean, I like to dig into the play-by-play is the big one for me. I just think you have to get a feel for how the flow of that game went. You'll see stats sometimes thrown out on TV. The common, when a team rushes for this many yards, their record is this or that, and then you think about it, and it's the game flow. They're going to be running for more yards if they're leading. It's things like there's a lot of feel to it as well. You just kind of have to know. I can't say there's any one particular stat that I'm looking at. I mean, I'm trying to gather all the stats, yards per play, yards per rush, things like that. But it's not paramount. I'm more of a feel kind of handicapper where I'll look into those play by play, try and see how did drives develop, how did they get stopped, how did they do in the red zone, things like that. And I try and just put it all together, and then you try and make the best decision each time.
All right, so let's look ahead towards college football week zero, and hooray for all of us, football is finally here. The first thing that I'm curious about from you is how is this year going to be different than last year from a evolution of, let's call it, pandemic football, where some teams aren't playing the same number of games, or there may or may not be fans in the stands. So how are you capping this year different than you did last year?
Well, last year was pretty strange. I found college football especially. I mean, NFL was, fairly consistent. We didn't see the huge differences. But in college football, when you had some teams playing four games, some teams playing 10 games, some teams had a few fans, some stadiums had no fans. I'm just expecting this year to be more kind of consistent, back to what we expect from college football on a Saturday. Other than that, I think everything. Some people will talk about how, now we've got the full stadium, so you're going to want to look at playing home teams more. You're going to want to look at, visiting teams struggling in the red zone, things like that. But pieces like that, I really feel, are already kind of factored in with this isn't lost on the books either. When we're talking about home field advantage, I think that's going to be factored in. I think last year we saw the lines shaded maybe a little bit to the road teams, without that home field advantage, without those fans in the stands. So I'm not so concerned about that so much. I'm really just looking forward to getting back to kind of a normal, you have your non-conference, then you have your conference play. I just want to get back to normal college football, because last year was it was kind of all over the place, really.
All right, so let's get into a little week zero action. And for me, the game that stands out the most, which we've seen a ton of line movement on right now, Nebraska 6.5 point favorites on the road, taking on Illinois. When this opened up, this was as high as 11.5. Since then, there's been some preliminary investigations into what's going on with Scott Frost in Nebraska. And we're seeing that line drop pretty gigantically. On the Illinois side, I don't think anyone exactly feels all confident backing Illinois, but Nebraska's a team where they are not where they thought they were going to be this far into the Scott Frost tenure as a coach. I love Scott Frost. My wife went to UCF. He goes to Nebraska. Boom, they're going to turn this around. And I feel like Nebraska is always living in the past, that they always think that they are Tom Osborne's Nebraska. And maybe this is going to be the year. Maybe this is going to be the year. Well, now we've got a week zero matchup where the line movement is going towards Illinois, even at 6.5. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on this.
Yeah, it's an interesting game, really. For Nebraska, like you said, you know, they've got a bit more continuity right now than Illinois probably does. I mean, Adrian Martinez back at quarterback. It feels like he's been there for about 10 years, even though I think he's been there three. This year, you know, the hope is that he's going to be a little more consistent. He doesn't have someone taking away his snaps. He doesn't have someone kind of breathing down his neck for that starting job. And I do think the Nebraska offense can have some success, but they're one of those teams, like you have to see them actually put it on the field before you're actually going to put faith in them here. Now it's down, like you said, 6.5, 7 points. Nebraska hasn't had much success winning on the road to open a season or any at all in recent years. But it's a big game for them because, I mean, they're talking about wanting to have a winning season, want to get to a bowl game. If they're going to do that, if you look at their schedule, you've only got 5 or 6 wins that are kind of not sure things, but games they can get. And this is definitely one of them. So you have to think we see Nebraska's best effort here. With Illinois, they've just been so bad for so long. The Lovie Smith era just didn't work out at all. Their defense has been horrible. So now this year you bring in new head coach, new defensive coordinator, kind of whole new system coming in. There's some returning talent, but again, I just don't exactly know what to expect out of Illinois right out of the gate. Are they going to be just pounding the football? Are they going to be throwing it around? It's a really tough game, to be honest. It's going to be a stay away game for me. Same from the total perspective. It's up in the mid 50s. I just don't have quite enough faith in these two offenses right out of the gate to go over a total that high. But on the flip side, we're not talking about two elite defenses here either. So I think both the side and total in this one, it might be just to sit back and watch the first game of the season and see what happens and go from there.
That feels like it's illegal to have the first college football game of the season and sit on the side. But of course, that's also why you're a professional sports handicapper, because you can remove that emotion aside from us, who's like, I just want to choose one of these things. So speaking of uncomfortable, we've got Fresno State laying 27.5, taking on UConn. And I think one of the things that I look at every single year is, who are the worst teams in college football? And I know ESPN has like a bottom 10 rankings, and we've got Kansas, who for years for me has been an auto bet against, New Mexico State, UMass, and here comes UConn. And UConn is not good. What do you do with a team or a program like UConn or some of these bottom 5, bottom 10 teams? And I know that you probably don't think in terms of a blanket statement of they're the worst, so I do X, Y, and Z on them. But here's a matchup against Fresno State where it's almost 4 touchdowns. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think with UConn, I actually already have a play post, a free play posted at Covers Experts on this game on Fresno State at, I think I got it at minus 27. I think people kind of forget just how bad UConn was a couple of years ago. From them not playing last season. And then when that decision was made not to play last season, you had a bunch of players transfer out of the program entirely. I don't see this as a good spot at all for UConn trying to get back into game action. They have to travel across the country. They're playing against a Fresno State team that actually returns quite a bit on both sides of the football. Fresno State, they did some good things last year. They've got high hopes again this year. I don't see a situation here where UConn can slow that Fresno State offense enough and kind of kind of keep their own offense on the field long enough to keep this thing close. It just kind of feels like a, 47 to 14 kind of finish, something like that. UConn's got, they've got a bit going for them, maybe in the backfield, maybe they can shorten the game, get a few runs going. But I like it. I just think that's a. I don't think they can set the line high enough in that situation. Fresno State also, you have to keep in mind, next week they have to travel to Oregon, so you have to figure they want to get the offense going. I don't think this is a situation where they're going to kind of let their foot off the gas in the second half. I tend to think they just keep rolling, trying to get that offense in sync, because they're going to need it when they head to Oregon next week in a much tougher game. So I'm willing to lay the 27. I wouldn't be surprised if the line ends up crossing that 28 at some point.
I'm curious if it gets to 28, 28 and a half, is there a big difference for you in a game like this at 28 and a half versus 27 and a half, knowing that it crosses a key number? We'll have seen the line move upwards of 3 points. I think a lot of casual bettors will be a little bit gun shy to see that extra hook there.
Yeah, it's important. But I mean, in this case, like I said, I feel like it's a 30 plus point win potentially for Fresno State. It's not a big play. It's not a game I'm going to go big on anyway. But I do think when you get up into a number like that, it's not quite as critical as when you're talking about, threes and sevens and things like that.
You know how I don't want to start my college football season? By betting on UConn, sitting there with, I
No.
don't know, 28 points in your hand, and boom, it's 34 nothing at the half. Gulp. I know we talk about getting comfortable, being uncomfortable, but that is not something that I am interested in doing. So there's two
No.
other games on the slate. I'm curious if you have thoughts on either one. UCLA laying 18 at home, taking on Hawaii, which is usually the get-out game, but it is not today or not this weekend. And UTEP laying 10 on the road, taking on New Mexico State, seeing that jump from 7 up to 10.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of surprised that UCLA line actually isn't a little higher, not so much because I think they're gonna blow it Hawaii, but just because I think the books probably could still get plenty of action on UCLA with that line north of 20. Just with Hawaii playing on the road here, we've got UCLA with the in their third or fourth year under Chip Kelly here. Lots of returning talent on both sides. Other than starting running back, they're pretty much loaded coming back from last year. This is it's kind of an interesting game, the side in this one likely. But looking at the total, I think there's kind of a couple ways you could go with this, and I think it might be kind of counterintuitive to what people are kind of expecting to do in this situation, because I think if people are looking to play the over here, they're probably thinking, okay, Hawaii's gonna come out and be slinging it all over the field. We're gonna need Hawaii to contribute a bunch to get this game over the total. I actually think if you expect UCLA's defense to kind of dominate this game, get a lot of three and outs out of the Hawaii offense, I think you are going to see it end up going over, because that Hawaii defense is good. They've got a lot of speed, a lot of talent, but I think they're going to get worn down if they're on the field too much in this one. I think UCLA could easily end up running up the score in this one. But on the flip side, if you think that Hawaii can actually kind of move the football, I don't think they're going to score a lot of touchdowns in this game, but I do have some confidence that they can actually extend some drives, move the football, eat the clock a little bit, shorten the game. They've got a quarterback in Cordero who can move the ball with his arms, with the arm, with the legs. I just think it's one of those games where you could see Hawaii maybe move the ball up and down the field a little bit, eat some clock, but then end up with those drives ending with zeros or threes. And I think that could probably play into the hands of the under here. UCLA just too good talent wise. I don't think Hawaii's got any hope of springing the upset, but for me, it's probably them aside.
Timmy Chang ain't walking through that door as much as we would like,
No.
because anybody who ever used to bet on Hawaii back in the day as a get out game, it was the most beautiful thing in the world. We're like, all right, let's see a 50 burger and 600 yards. That to me was early on in my sports betting days, when I would just do things like bet the over on Hawaii and Texas Tech from the Cliff Kingsbury and Graham Harrell eras, where they're just airing it out. That to me is what I loved about betting on sports.
Hawaii's back in the day. They're a completely different team now. I just don't know that most bettors realize that their defense was actually fairly solid last year, and now this year they've got all the guys back. Actually, could be a pretty good defensive team, and offensively they're just not that aerial assault kind of team that they used to be. Cordero isn't going to be airing it out too often in this one, I don't think. I think they're going to focus on trying to just possess the ball and try and shorten this game. But yeah, I know exactly where you're coming from. There's been a lot of Christmas Eve spent watching the Hawaii Bowl back when Hawaii would be in that game virtually every year with the Timmy Changs and everyone else. So.
All right, so let's move this over to NFL Week One briefly. And what I did is I looked at the lines for where they stand right now and saw a few that just stood out to me of note one way or another. So you're welcome to jump in and give a thought on any of these. So we've got Bills laying 7 at home taking on the Steelers, Panthers laying 4.5 at home taking on the Jets, the Jags 3-point favorites on the road versus the Texans. Titans laying 3 at home versus the Cardinals. 49ers laying 7.5 on the road versus the Lions. Packers 3-point road favorites versus the Saints. And the Rams laying 7 at home versus the Bears. And with each of those games, they were at a key number or there's a road favorite. And I'm curious, did any of those stand out to you? Because I like to see what stands out to me when I first look at something. What is my immediate gut reaction?
Yeah, well, at this point for me, I'm more just kind of trying to just gather which teams maybe I'm higher on than some, and which ones that maybe I'm not quite as high on. You can get a pretty good feel just during the preseason alone, kind of from which teams are getting, maybe a little too much hype. You mentioned the Steelers taking on the Bills. I'm pretty high. I like the Steelers this year, I do, but I mean that's a tough opening week matchup going into Buffalo. I tend to think that Pittsburgh here this year, it's kind of like the last ride for Big Ben and Mike Tomlin perhaps, but they've got the team to potentially go deep with, they're loaded on defense now with Najee Harris out of the backfield. They've kind of gone back to maybe a consistent ground game, which they had at times with James Conner, but he was just injured way too often. So in that particular game, that's a really interesting week one matchup, but it's a tough spot for the Steelers to go into Buffalo where the Bills are just kind of absolutely loaded, both sides of the football. Again, they're trying to ramp up to maybe knock off the Chiefs this year. But yeah, that's a tricky one. I think you mentioned the Rams as well. That's another team that a lot of people seem to be fairly high on going into the season. I'm not quite ready to jump on that bandwagon just yet with Matt Stafford. They should be better. We should finally see that offense kind of take off with Stafford. But and now today with the news that they acquired Sony Michel from the Patriots with all their injuries in the backfield, so that's going to be an interesting team. I just don't know if I'm quite as high on the Rams as some are going into the season.
What are your thoughts on the 49ers? Everyone wants to, as Denny Green would say, crown them because everyone likes the narrative of Kyle Shanahan, and now we've got sexy Trey Lance waiting in the wings. And last year didn't exactly work out. There was injuries, but I feel like we're crowning the 49ers as a Super Bowl contender pretty quickly. Here they're taking on the Lions, supposed to be arguably the worst or the second worst team in football, only 7.5. And I think it's a very simple thing to be like, oh, let's just go ahead and take the 49ers. What are your thoughts on them? Because my spider sense is just being cautious around them because the narrative is just so much positive news.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're begging us to take the Niners in that one. I mean, the Lions, most people feel, are probably going to be potentially the worst team in the league. And then you've got all this hype around the 49ers, and then they throw out a line of -7.5. So that's going to get plenty of teaser action, if nothing else, for the Niners in that one. I like San Francisco, but again, this is it's going to be tough because they're in a tough division. They're in with, you got the Rams, you've got the Cardinals, you've got the Seahawks. All these teams are kind of almost interchangeable in the power rankings if you want to actually stretch it out a little. So I'm maybe not quite as I want to see a little more from the Niners. I want to see more from that offense with Trey Lance. He looked pretty good on this past Sunday night, but that was against mostly Chargers backups, with them really not playing their starters here in the preseason. So I'm not ready to kind of crown them as a true Super Bowl contender just yet, but the potential is there for them to be one of the best teams. I mean, the defense isn't going to take all those injuries like they did last season. The offense has to be better. So yeah, that's a tricky week one matchup. I mean, Niners should win the game. Final score, and your guess is as good as mine on that one.
What do you do with the low-end team? So we just talked about Detroit. You got the Jags coming off an atrocious season now, 3-point road favorites. But now we have the Texans who have the scarlet letter on them. And by no means am I trying to put a shred of positivity on what the Texans are doing. But up against the Jags team who has a first-year head coach and a rookie quarterback, there's just something fundamentally that says Jaguars laying points on the road in the first matchup. Is it almost like it doesn't matter who they're playing?
Yeah, it seems like the Jags are one of those teams. I could see it going kind of either way. I mean, you can kind of picture them crashing and burning potentially with Urban Meyer there. But they've got some talent. I question the defense for sure. Trevor Lawrence hasn't looked, over the top great in the preseason, but he's shown enough. I think he'll be fine, obviously. But the Texans, you don't want any. I mean, you don't want any part. You were talking about wanting no part of backing UConn in college football. Well, I think you can put the Texans in that category for the NFL, just because, I mean, what do you even make of a team with, all this Deshaun Watson circus that's been going on, and they're a bad team to begin with. So that's a classic AFC South kind of stay away game, I think, in week one. I could only look the Jags way probably, but I don't think that's one that's going to be finding its way on my card.
What's your outlook on the Saints this year? Because we're still seeing uncertainty in the quarterback position as we record this on Wednesday, August 25th at noon Eastern, taking on the Packers. So you get the Saints, a double-digit win team from last season, getting 3 points at home. We can very easily fall in love with the shiny object syndrome that is Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, a team that's a Super Bowl contender. How are you capping and thinking about the Saints? Because everything doesn't seem all right there. Michael Thomas, what's up with that? What's up with the quarterback situation? But they still have a very good team around it with Sean Payton at head coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, based on the thing most bettors are probably going to remember is that Monday night game a few nights ago when Jameis Winston looked great. So it's going to be interesting to see right out of the gate how they do. I mean, it's tough to be too confident in Jameis just based on what we saw in Tampa. And like you said, the Michael Thomas out. It's a different kind of it's a different kind of team. It's not the Saints that we're accustomed to seeing by any means. And that's, like you said, that's a tough opening week matchup against motivated Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, who I think are once again loaded, and maybe people are discounting a little bit just because of all that off-season controversy with is Rodgers going to be back? Is he not going to be back? I think they're going to be fine. I have fewer questions about them than I would have about the Saints going into the new season.
Sean, really enjoyed jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
So you can find me now back on Covers Experts for all my premium plays. Lots of free plays daily on there. My Twitter feed is at Murphy underscore sports, as you mentioned. Lots of plays thrown out there on a nightly basis. We're still grinding away with MLB as well. And then once we kind of ramp up into football season, there'll be lots more content there. So that's where you can find me.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your college football week zero card? Or do you already have NFL week one action? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The book of the devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.